Okay, assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, we'll start this last session, question and answers. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmi ddeen. Wa ba'd. There are lots of questions, mashallah. And as I said, this is a difficult topic. And Imam Ahmed spent 9 years trying to understand this topic. You can imagine I'm not going to be able to answer all the questions that you're going to raise. So inshallah, I will try and answer what I can. For those I can't, I will take them away and search for an answer, or perhaps I'll give you some sources you can search yourself. Okay, some of the questions I'm sure may have been answered already during the topics as we discuss them. Start with the easy one, inshallah. The question here says, the hadith regarding Ibn Umar, divorce during menses. Please give reference of hadith. The hadith is from Bukhari and Muslim. The hadith is al-Bukhari and Muslim. Question here says, what is the hukum on using tampons, inserting cotton to soak up menses? It is not a preventative method, just a cleaner option. This, inshallah, wallahu alam, as far as I know, shouldn't be anything wrong with it. It's just simply, as sister mentioned, it's just to contain the menses. The second part of this question asks, what is dry bleeding? I'm not sure what is meant by the question now, unless she was referring to one of the situations about irregular menstrual bleeding when we said the fifth case was dryness in the blood. If this is what is meant, then the scholars mentioned that there may be that there's dryness in the blood and she only sees some kind of moisture. And as you can imagine, for a man, it's kind of difficult to describe this. But I'm only going by what I have seen. If this is doesn't apply to you, so don't worry about it, inshallah. Question here, if a woman has her menses, is she allowed to go into the masjid to read Quran or listen to lectures? Also, what is the ruling? So we discussed this. We said, woman, if the masjid where they actually allocate the place for salah, then she can't go into the area. If, for example, there's a hall or something, for example, ELM, the LMC part, that is not the masjid. So you can go there. If there's a lecture or something, you can listen to that lecture, no problem. But to go into the masjid where it's placed for salah, then there, during the menses, woman is not allowed to go and stay there, as we discussed. Question here says, I have bleeding for 20 to 25 days. How do I know it is istihada? So what do we do in this situation? What does the sister do? 20, 25 days. Question, do you have a regular cycle before or not? If you had a regular cycle, then you go by your regular cycle and you consider the rest as being istihada. If you didn't have a regular cycle, and what do you do? You go try and distinguish between the blood, see if you have any differences in the blood. If you can't do that, then the third one is go by the normal habit or normal custom of the women around you. The question here, is it okay for marital relations during istihada? The answer is yes. That marital relationship is no problem with that, inshallah, during istihada. That doesn't prevent any of that. Only during menses and nifas, it is not allowed. The second question says, the duration between the first period and second is very short. As we discussed, the scholars say there. The correct view is that it doesn't matter how long or how short it is, as long as it is menses, then you treat it as menses. Question, when on menses, can you read the Quran from Mus'haf, which has English translation? Now this question, if you have a translation, then the translation, just the translation itself, that is not the Mus'haf. So for example, you have translation of the Quran in English. So that translation you can read, no problem in that. But then the issue, if for example you have a translation and side by side you have the complete Quran, that I have yet to find a clear answer from the ulama on this. So wallahu alam. We also have, for example, new situation today. For example, some of you can read the whole Mus'haf on your mobile, right? You get the Quran on your mobile and so on. So what is the hukum of this? Again, on this I have not found a kind of conclusive answer from the ulama. Other than I heard one of the people of knowledge saying that one should not read, one should treat it as a Mus'haf if one has the complete Quran on it. That is not to read from it. without tahara. The ghusl after menses, does this include the nose and the mouth? The answer is yes, because the nose and the mouth are considered to be exterior, meaning that these are parts you have to wash along with the rest of your body. So you have to rinse out your mouth and nose when you do a ghusl for menses or ghusl for janaba or any other obligatory ghusl. Does irregular menses affect a woman's ability to have children? Wallahu alam, this is a medical question. You need to ask your doctor or a GP whether it has an impact or not. I don't know. If a woman has a yellowish and or brownish discharge exactly before her menses starts, which is all or most of the time, then it is connected. Counted as menses? The answer is yes. If you have this kind of thing just before your menses, then you treat it as menses. Does the white discharge affect her purity? I'm not too sure about the question. If you mean the white discharge is a sign that her menses have ended, which means that she needs to do her ghusl, if that's what the question is asking. This question says, a sister went to Umrah and she was menstruating. She did the sa'i but not the tawaf, but did the tawaf on the last day in Makkah when she was pure. However, she only did one tawaf and did not have the time to come back and do the farewell tawaf afterwards, like she thought she would. Does this invalidate her umrah? No, alhamdulillah, what she did was correct, and her umrah is valid. There's difference of opinion regarding whether tawaf al-wada is necessary for umrah or not. So there's khilaf on that, but what her umrah is valid, inshallah, and what she did was right. Question here says, some sisters start their menses when they're 17 to 18 years old. Does this mean salah is not fard on them before this? This is not normal, because as we said, even the medical people, they say it's up to between, 8 and 16. So 17, 18 is quite late. And from Islamic point of view, the scholars, they say that if a woman does not, or a girl does not see any signs of puberty up to the age of 15, then she takes the age of 15 as being the beginning of her adulthood. So she is considered to be baligh at the age of 15. So in this situation, for these sisters, so if their menses is delayed after 15, so they have to start salah and every other thing, all the other obligatory actions from the age of 15 if they have not seen menses. Wallahu alam. Question here says, during istihadha, when praying at the masjid, you cannot do wudu just before salah because your space will go due to the very busy at mosque. Yes? If you have wudu half an hour beforehand, is that valid? Even though you are continuously bleeding and sometimes it is not possible to check. What you need to do, a woman in istihadha has to do, if it's a fard salah, you have to do your wudu when the time of that salah has begun. So for example, if you're going to Jum'ah, if you're going to Salatul Jum'ah on a Friday, then you have to do your wudu after the time of Jum'ah has begun, which is the time of Dhuhr, after Zawad. If you do that, inshallah, and you're waiting for the salah, then that is fine. But if you do your wudu before the time of salah, then yes, you will need to do your wudu again, as we discussed from the proofs previously. Question here says, the women who have no period, will they receive more reward as they can pray more prayers? Wallahu alam, of course, the more you do, inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you more reward. But hayd is something that Allah Azza wa Jalla made natural for women. So those women who experience that, and they accept it from Allah and so on, inshallah, they'll get a type of reward. And they should try, when they're out of their menses, try to compete with those women who perhaps do not have the same length or same time or a shorter time, inshallah, in order to make up or try and catch up with them. So the general rule is, yes, the more you do, the more reward you'll get. And the more effort you put in, the more you'll get, inshallah. As Rasulullah said in the hadith, that your reward is according to the hardship. Okay, doesn't mean you put yourself into unnecessary hardship, but the more hardship you experience, then the greater your reward. Question here, if someone's menstrual cycle starts at, for example, 1 in the afternoon, and they have an 8-day cycle, on the 8th day, when they are clear, what time do they know to do ghusl and salah? Well, as soon as you realize, if you have normally 8-day cycle or whatever day of cycle, then you need to examine yourself, see if you've experienced the white discharge, or if you don't see that, if there is complete dryness, then those are the signs that you've finished. So if you've experienced that, if you've seen that, then you should, obviously then you need to do your ghusl and salah, depending on what time it is. Question here says, if you think you notice pinkish color in the morning, a difference in the color of discharge during the day, but are unsure if this is menses, even though it is about a day before you expect your menses, should you take it as your menses, and you are certain you began menses that night or the following day? Yes, if you have these kind of discharges just before your menses, then you should take it as menses. Another part of this, if you notice clear discharge about 5 days into your menses, and menses is less, or just notice a brownish yellowish color after the clear discharge, should you consider this as menses? Okay, let me think about this. If you notice clear discharge, okay, so you notice, as we discussed, you see a kind of brownish discharge after you've seen the clear discharge. Then what did we say about that? You don't treat it as menses. Yep, you don't treat it as menses. Okay. If you are unsure about when menses ends, do you have to make up all of the prayers from the time you were certain you was on your menses? Yes, if, for example, a woman, for example, has istihada and so on, and so she determines that her haid was 5 days and the other days were istihada, but she didn't know that until afterwards. Okay, so what does a woman do in that situation? Some of the ulama, they say that she does not have to make up those because she didn't know whether it was haid or istihada. So Sheikh Nuthaymin rahimullah, he says that it is safer that a woman makes them up. It is safer, but he says that it is not necessary, but safer for her to make those prayers up. Wallahu a'lam. Sometimes women get a lot of discharge out of menses. Do they have to do wudu before every salah? The discharge is white, sometimes clear. Sometimes women get a lot of discharge out of menses. If you mean after the menses, that it's not their menses. So any kind of discharge after the menses, then yes. So those discharge break the wudu, so they have to do wudu for those things. How about when ovulation takes place, a lot of discharge arises, wudu required before every salah? Yes, any form of discharge from the private parts breaks the wudu. Any form of discharge from the private parts breaks the wudu. So whether it's little or a lot, then you have to renew your wudu. What should one do when one is on menses and is a Quran teacher? Okay, you can teach the Quran, as we said. The correct view is that you can recite the Quran, but you try not to handle the Mus'haf, try not to touch the Mus'haf. You can try and ask some of your students to touch the Mus'haf or look at the Mus'haf or open it for you to see. Other than that, you should not touch the Mus'haf. Is gloves allowed then to touch the Quran? This is something that I've not heard the ulama mentioning, using gloves and so on, and something one should not go into. Okay, sister asking, I didn't understand what you explained about the talaq. Okay, talaq, I mean, this is not really our topic, but I will try and explain, inshallah. Talaq, the sunnah way to do talaq is when a woman is in her tuhur, in a clean period, not in her menses, and a man has not, and the husband has not had any sexual relationship with her. Okay, so obviously after a haid, the haid is a sign she is not pregnant. So if the man has sexual relationship, then the possibility she may become pregnant, so she doesn't know, should she consider what is her iddah? Because the iddah for the pregnant woman is until she gives birth. Whereas the iddah for the non-pregnant woman is 3 menstrual cycles. Is that clear? So therefore, the sunnah way to divorce a woman is that in her tuhur, when the man has not had any, after her menses, man has not had any sexual relationship with her, so the man says simply, in whatever words, that he divorces her. Okay, he divorces her. Now, and the sunnah is to pronounce, make it once. If somebody says 3 times, then a lot of the scholars consider it as 3 divorce. So that means that the woman, the woman is not lawful for him until she marries another man. And this is very serious. But to other scholars, they say, no, it still counts as one. Nevertheless, so let's say if we follow the sunnah way, so the man does 1 divorce, so now the woman has to wait for her iddah period. What does that mean? Her iddah period is now 3 menstrual cycles. And in the case of the first and this, in the first divorce, so this is the first divorce the man is doing for the woman. So she goes through her first menses, that's one. Then obviously she'll go to the tohur and then she'll go to her second menses, that's two, yes? She'll go through another tohur and she'll go through a third menses. So now her iddah is over. And if within this iddah period, a man is allowed to take the wife back without a new contract. Understood? Now, if the iddah period is over, then that marriage is finished. And that woman is now divorced from that man and they can only get back together when on a new marriage contract. New akd. Okay? So this now counts as one divorce for this man. So if this man was to take this woman back and did a second divorce for, divorced her again a second time, then she would do the same thing. And she, the man would have a right again to take the woman back. So if he divorced her again for a second time, that's second. So if he took her back for a second time, he's got one divorce left now. And if he divorces again for a third time, that is now finished. So after her iddah is over, and on the third divorce, the scholars say that the woman does not stay with the man because now the woman cannot go back to the man. Right? So after the third divorce, woman cannot marry that same husband until she has married another man and been in a lawful marriage and they have consummated the marriage. And if that second husband divorces her, then that woman can go back to her first husband. So this is how talaq works. I hope that makes sense, inshallah. Ask for us to kind of discuss the different types of women according to the different madhahib and so on. I've not gone into the different fiqhi opinions or different madhabi opinions because I think this will confuse matters. And I try to keep it simple so that you can go away with something that you can kind of act on and implement. And always we try to substantiate it with the correct evidence, inshallah. So there are differing opinions on this. And one can go and look for those if you want to. But I deliberately avoided going into the different opinions because that would take long time to discuss and we may not come out with a clear answer at the end. Question here, can we do tawaf while bleeding? If not, what acts of hajj can we perform? And I answered this, inshallah, when we talked about tawaf. Rasulullah said to Aisha, do everything that the hajj, the pilgrim does, except tawaf around the house, and then when you pure, then do the tawaf. Okay, so the woman who goes for hajj or umrah, she does everything other than the tawaf. Then when she becomes pure, then she does the tawaf. But of course, as I mentioned, if she has to leave and she cannot come back, then out of necessity, she can do the tawaf, tawaf al-ifada, tawaf al-hajj, or the tawaf al-umrah, while in the state of menses. The question, I only started praying 6 years ago. Do I have to make all the prayers and fast, or is it enough for me to do sincere tawbah for it? And I answered this previously, and this affects a lot of us who did not start praying or fasting from when it became obligatory upon us. So what do we do? The answer is, the simplest answer, the easiest, inshallah, most practical answer is that for what is past, for the prayers that have been left deliberately, you cannot make those prayers up. Their time has gone. Because each prayer has its time. Once you've missed its time, its time has gone. Unless you slept through it or forgot it, then Rasul said that if you sleep through a prayer, or you forgot it, then you pray it when you remember it. But other than that, each prayer has a designated, allocated time. So if you miss that time deliberately, you cannot make up that prayer. You cannot make up that prayer. So what do? You do sincere tawbah. You turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and ask His forgiveness. And you try to increase in your good works to make up for those mistakes. And that similarly is a rule for fasting as well. Because also to say to someone that you have to make up for all of those prayers for a number of years, and all of those fasts, is going to be extremely hard and difficult, and may put people off from starting to practice the deen. So that's why, inshallah, the best thing to do is to start from fresh, and do your prayers regularly, and not miss any, and try and increase in your good works. Wallahu a'lam. Question A, if I don't make up for fast that I missed due menstruation before the next Ramadan, will I be sinful? If a woman did not fast in the month of Ramadan, then she should make up those fasts as soon as she can, because this is a debt. And this is a duty, a responsibility you have. So you should try to make them up as soon as you can. And as long as you make them up before the next Ramadan, then inshallah, there is no sin. However, if a woman, for whatever reason, through no fault of hers, was unable to make up those days until the next Ramadan, so she now carries on these fasts after the second Ramadan, then inshallah, again, no sin on her because she couldn't do it, either because she became pregnant or breastfeeding or whatever. However, if a woman was neglectful and did not make up, then some of the scholars, ulama, they say that she has to offer kafara as expiation. In addition to fasting, she has to feed a poor person for neglecting or leaving those days. Wallahu a'lam. Does discharge break wudu? She has discharged most of the time. Do I consider to have wudu until the next salah, etc., and make wudu for dhuhr? Can I pray, then recite, or do any ibadah that requires wudu? If a woman suffers discharge regularly and she cannot control this, then she is like the woman who is has istihada. So what does she do? She has to clean herself at the time of salah and do wudu for every salah. And then even during the salah, if the discharge comes out, then inshallah, no problem, because that's as much as she can do. And this is the similar situation for anyone suffering a condition where they can't control. For example, someone who cannot control the urine. So someone has condition, so they can't control it. So such people, they are like the woman who has istihada. Or someone, for example, cannot control the wind. So same situation. At the time of salah, they do wudu, and then they pray. And if something comes out or something happens during the salah, they're excused because that is as much as they can do. Wallahu alam. Does bleeding from the gum breaks wudu? The answer is no. The blood, bleeding from any part of the body does not, apart from menstrual blood or istihada or nifas. Istihada and nifas. Other blood from other parts of the body, from your arms or your gums or whatever, does not break wudu, because there is no evidence to say that bleeding breaks wudu. And blood, according to the correct opinion, blood from other than menstrual blood or blood from the private parts is not najis, is not impure. So if you get blood from your face or arm or whatever, that blood is not impure. Does pus break wudu? Squeezing a spot, the answer is no. That does not break your wudu, and it is not najis. Some of the Sahaba, like for example Ibn Umar and others, they used to do this, and they prayed in that situation. And also the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, with regard to blood, they went out to jihad and battles, and they would pray with their injuries. They continued to pray with the injuries, so it shows that blood is not najis. If it was najis, the salah would not be valid in that state. If someone is not practicing, but no salah is fard, what is the hukum in this? Is this kufr? This is an issue the ulama discuss. One who denies the obligation of salah, the one who denies the obligation of salah is not a Muslim. The one who says, oh, I don't believe salah is wajib, that person is not Muslim. As for the one who says, oh, I believe the salah is wajib, but doesn't pray out of laziness, what is the hukum of that person? First of all, some of the scholars, they say that person is, or actually many of the scholars, they say that person has to be punished. If there is a Muslim imam, he has to punish that person. And that punishment, some scholars say, is by death, capital punishment. Other scholars, they say that person is imprisoned until he repents or until he dies. And those scholars who say that person is killed for not praying, then they differ. What is that person killed for? Is he killed because that act of leaving the salah is kufr, or killed as a punishment for leaving the salah? The view that says that person is killed for leaving the salah is for kufr is a very strong view. Because a number of hadith and from the ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a number of places that the people who do not pray, observe salah, will be in Jahannam. As for example, in Surah Al-Muddathir, Allah azza wa jalla says, مَا سَلَقَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. When they're asked what made you end up in Jahannam, they say, because we did not pray. So, and also Rasulullah said that the difference between us and them, meaning the non-Muslims, is the salah. So leaving the salah is an act of major kufr. So one who does not pray at all is not a Muslim. So it is major kufr. And that's why it's really, really serious matter. Many Muslims, they take salah lightly. Salah is the foundation of the deen. Salah is one of the pillars of al-Islam. And without salah, there is no deen. So this is very, very important. One should not neglect their salah or abandon their salah. Can a woman wear clothes that are clean but she was wearing them while she was menstruating? Yes. As long as there is no blood on those clothes. So if she gets any blood from the menses, then she has to clean that blood. But otherwise, if there's nothing from that, then inshallah the clothes are fine and no problem in wearing those clothes. Is it okay to wipe clean discharge with drops of water, or do I have to wash it properly? Yes, any kind of... with regard to discharge, actually discharge, some of the scholars, they say the discharge that comes from the faraj of the private part of a woman is not considered to be impure. So if that is the case, although it breaks the wudu, but it's not impure. So if that is the case, then that means that you can wipe it or do something with it. But if it was impure, then you'd have to wash it. Okay? So discharge is not impure, so you can't wipe it clean. But if it's an impure thing like blood, then you have to wash it. There are a number of things that can come from one's private parts. So if, for example, having a wet dream. A wet dream, one has a wet dream, this is a cause for ghusl. One has a wet dream, man or woman, they have to have a ghusl. But the sperm in itself is not, from a man, that sperm is not najas according to the correct view. That is not najas, it's not impure. Also, men or women as well can also suffer from what's known as al-madhi. Al-madhi is a kind of discharge that comes out as a result of sexual excitement. So for example, if a husband and wife are engaged in sexual foreplay or something, they can have an emission called madhi, and this is not the same as a semen. This madhi is considered to be najis, impure. And so if it gets onto the clothes have to be washed, and also a person has to wash the private parts as well as doing wudu as well. Okay, so these are a number of things. But other than that, the discharge from a woman, scholars, they say that it is, especially women who suffer from it constantly, then it is clean, it is not impure, but nevertheless, when it happens, it breaks wudu. And so if it's a regular thing with her, she should do wudu for every salah. Wallahu a'lam. Question here says, if your menses start during the night and you do not know whether it started before or after Fajr, do I have to make up for this salah? Okay. In situations like this, we apply a principle which is that we go by what is certain. We go by what is certain. So you were certain, so this questioner, sister, she was certain that she did not have menses. She was certain she did not have menses, and then she woke up after Fajr, realizing that she now has menses. So she goes by the yaqeen, certainty that she didn't have menses until after Fajr. And she takes it that the menses started after Fajr. Wallahu alam. What is the hukum if the husband ends up sleeping with the wife while she is on her period? Now, if you mean by sleeping sexual intercourse, then as we explained, that is a major sin. That is a kabira. And the man should do tawbah for this, and the woman, if she consented, then she should also do tawbah, and they need to offer kafara, which is, as explained before, either one dinar or half a dinar, as mentioned before. Now, what can a couple do? As we explained, a couple can do everything. If the woman is in menses, a couple are allowed to do everything except sexual intercourse. So touching, fondling, kissing and whatever else, all of that is permissible. Even some of the scholars, they say it is permissible for, and excuse me for the explicit language, that it is allowed for the woman to masturbate the husband. It is permissible. Especially if the husband has a lot of shahwa and he's going to commit haram. Normally masturbation by a man is not permissible. It's not allowed. Okay, but a woman can do that for the husband, especially if the husband fears falling into haram. Okay, so these are not many things that a couple can do other than sexual relationship during the menses. Question is, I have a set period of 10 days. She has a set period of 10 days. She bleeds from the 1st to the 10th of each month. Sometimes the blood is thin for the first 5 days and thick for the next 5 days. Is all this menstrual blood, or is this thin blood, if defective blood? The answer is yes. If this is your normal menstrual cycle and this is what you have regularly, then you treat all of that as menses. Wallahu alam. Is it permissible for a husband to pronounce divorce while she is bleeding, while she is in menses? The answer is, this is bid'ah, and this is not according to the sunnah, as we discussed, as Ibn Umar did, and Rasulullah got very angry about this. So this is not correct, and the man has to take her back in this situation. And the scholars have different opinion regarding whether that divorce pronounced during the menses counts or not. Whether it counts or not, whether it's counted as one or not, and that you'll find in the books of fiqh in detail. If a woman stops bleeding before Fajr, but she does not get time to do ghusl before the Fajr, adhan, can she start fasting? Answer is yes. If she stops before Fajr, then she has to do the Fajr after of course doing her ghusl, and she also, if it's the obligatory fast in the month of Ramadan, she also has to fast that day as well. What is the lowest and the highest duration of period? Again, this is something which the scholars differ over, and we discuss this, and the strongest view is that there is no maximum or minimum limit. You go by the signs of menses. The presence or absence of it is what decides. Wallahu alam. Is there another question left here? Let me see. Yeah, is there a question here which is off the topic, the sister says, but to answer would be appreciated. Let me see what the question is first of all. Okay, question here, sister says, I recently had a miscarriage which was trying and painful. From my scan, an ovarian cyst was discovered. It didn't go after my miscarriage, and now I'm going for an operation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things easy for you and give you patience during these hard times. I am trying my best to get female surgeons, but I cannot be definite. Would I be sinful for a male surgeon? The answer is no. That when there is a need, ideally, men and women should see a doctor or a surgeon or a nurse of the same gender. That is the ideal situation. But sometimes it is beyond our control. If you go to hospital, you can't say, I just want females. Sometimes you can say it and there will be females available. Other times, there's only male doctors or female doctors. And in those situations, because of need, inshallah, there is no sin on you. As long as it is a need and it's something that you have to do, then inshallah, you are not sinful for that particular matter. In fact, if it's something critical for your health, then you have to do it. You don't have a choice. So if it's something critical for your health, and it means seeing the opposite gender, then you are required, because the health, health is something that Sharia gives very important, very high priority to. So we have to maintain our health and look after our health. So if it's something that you have to do, an operation as in this case, then you seeing a male doctor, a male surgeon, when female is not available, inshallah, will not be a problem. Wallahu ta'ala alam. There are other questions, a bit more difficult, which I've not answered because they need time to think about, as I said. I need to think about them before I can give an answer. So I'm going to stop here unless there are other questions, inshallah. And if I've not answered a question which is very important for you, what I would suggest is that you can either email the brothers at Qadimun. The email is info@qadimun.com, and they will forward the question, inshallah. I will try and answer it. Or, but you can search for the answer yourself, and the best place is on the internet is the Islam Q&A website, islamqa.com. Go there, inshallah. You'll find lots of answers, questions answered there. So simply type in the search box menses or menstruation, and you'll find loads of questions people have asked. So inshallah, in this way, you can expand your own knowledge and understanding. So do that. Or if you want to personally, you can send the question to Ummu Talha. And inshallah, through her, I will try and answer them. So you have three options there. You can email the brothers at Qadimun, or you can go to Islam Q&A yourself and find the answers, or you can email my wife, Ummu Talha, and inshallah I will try and answer the question through there. There are some questions which I need to think about before I can answer, so I don't want to just give you a kind of hasty answer on this. And I think that should be enough, sufficient, inshallah. As I said, if there are questions, so you have those three options. And also, I will leave you something else that you I would strongly recommend for you to read. And this is something that I have based my talk, most of my talk on. It is a book by Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah called The Natural Blood of Women. If you go to the internet or go to a bookshop, it's been translated into English. It's called The Natural Blood of Women. And many of these topics I've discovered, are mentioned there. So this is something I would strongly recommend for you to read and go back to as a source of reference. And if you don't want to buy it, you can find it on the internet free. Just type in Google, Natural Blood of Women, inshallah you can download it and read it for yourself. And so inshallah you can continue your studies further. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the fiqh of the deen, and may Allah azza wa jal help us to understand these issues. So I hope it's been useful and helpful. There are lots of issues around hayd because, you know, these things depend on the woman, and women have their varying situations and circumstances. So no one answer satisfies everyone. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Qadimun is a non-profit organization dedicated to serving the educational and cultural needs of our audience. Being a non-profit organization, Qadimun invests all proceeds into production and distribution of new materials. For a full range of our products, please visit qadimun.com. If you have any comments or suggestions, please email info@qadimun.com. Qadimun, media dedicated to the Ummah.